First of all, I see old faces and I see new ones. So the question is, for the new ones, the new faces, I believe that what you know about me and about what I do for Linux Audio, do you know anything? Do you have any idea, or is all new in a way? Ah, yeah, but you're not on record. I know that. Yeah? It's all new for you? You never use it? For example, the clickbait that is the title of this session. Yeah, but you've come here, so you know something. Anyway, so. Okay. In the beginning, there was Jack. You remember this song? For the spell, and Jack would just turn the game with Linux and Linux Audio after the ALSA and whatever. Okay, so we are, besides the title of the session is about QGXCTL, after QGXCTL I made a bunch of a lot of software, which QGXCTL is not the one. The QGXCTL is an application that you probably all know, is as this interface. It serves to control Jack on his own. And yeah, who doesn't know QGXCTL? You said it was completely new, but you know about QGXCTL. Ah, okay. So, yeah, it's old software. It began in 2003. 15 years ago, on March of 2003, that I started coding an interface to QGXCTL. And let's look up the first interface that was there at that time. It isn't on the site, on the QGXCTL site. Sorry for just changing the screen all this time, because this is a workshop, it's not a paper presentation. So it's very free form. You can interrupt me in any time, any way, and ask your questions, ask for your complaints. If you have any doubts, just interrupt there, impromptu, and I will answer it or not. Or I'll give you another idea. I'm not always politely correct. I'm not always formal, as you already know about me. So feel free to do whatever you think about. You can complain, you can rant against me, you can, I will hear, or I will be deaf, but whatever. I'm a libertarian by heart, so yeah, it's all free, but with low government level. It's not. I'm not completely anarchic, but yeah. Well, go on. Let's go on. I will thinking about the starting QGXCTL. On my own. This is the way that appears for me, in its own way. But you know that the default way is this option that I made on myself. But most people see it like this. Yeah? So let's put this for this side, because it's outside of the screen. Most people look like this. But in the beginning, it was not like this. It was even bare. This, of course, what you see in here is my site, or my personal site, only dedicated for Linux Audio and Q stuff. So it's not Facebook, or it's not Mesia or something that I could keep personal data or personal. No, it's only for Linux Audio software, Linux Audio software and Q stuff, or whatever I do. And let's see how it looked. I hope there is internet connection, yes. Yeah, this is the home page of the project. If you go to the screenshots, this is not the latest, but is the one of the latest, forms that they represent. And let's see here in the bottom, sorry. I'm sorry, but you get the primordial. QGXTL was only this. On day zero, was only this. And when you click at this checkbox details, it presented a tabbed interface, which much people still love it this way, but I changed it to the current way. A little skeuomorphic because of the shiny glass. There are people that's not how we like, but that option disappeared. So you get the shiny glasses no matter what. Okay, this was the first interface of QGXTL. You can see the version was the 009 from September of 2003. It was pretty old. And I was younger also. You know. And the thing that was most useful was the connection interface that is still in place today, with curved Bezier curves, but it's okay. That's still there. What people know. Let's see. This one. Okay. This is for audio connections. This is for jack MIDI connections. And the ALSA tab is for ALSA MIDI connections. So many people ask me that put their jack MIDI and put his ALSA MIDI. Yeah, but this is the original way that people were supposed to. In the first QGXTL versions, there weren't jack MIDI. Jack MIDI only dealt with audio. You know, so things are still that way. If you are a translator for QGXTL or for any of this stuff, you can put on your own translation file, you can change that if you will. So it's an option. It's an option with a middle ground development only for translations as it goes. So any questions until now about QGXTL? The usual, the gold junk software that I produced for Linux Audio. There will be news. I will say it just in a few moments. There was a major news that came in already in the latest version. But do you have anything to say about on until now? What do you ask it more to be in QGXTL? okay. That because it will be a matter
for you. But one thing that I occasionally need is when I'm switching my laptop, when I take my laptop to the some setup, some hardware, USB audio interface there, and at home I have another one, and so I always have to remember switching. I have my presets for that, of course. But it would be convenient if QJack control, okay, I can't launch Jack because the interface apparently went into nowhere. Microphone. Let's try other okay.
So what I'm suggesting basically is that QJack control could maybe iterate through the presets that I have and pick one that works automatically. Then I don't have to remember, now I'm at the university, so I have to pick the one interface, the one preset I have for that. And
you're asking if when it starts, or there's a mode when it starts, right, that it looks up which the output device or audio device is
It remembers
it is one. that you set here.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly.
And then identifies, oh, this is, you are, and you, plug it in as some USB audio device,
yeah,
or sound card.
I come home and plug the laptop into the dock, and then it has another. At home I have, for instance, I have some Behringer device with four channels, and at the university I might have a mixer board or something.
Yeah, it could be interesting.
QJAC control already has that information because it remembers what it wants to start, even if it's not in the menu anymore. So it knows, okay, this can't work, basically. So it could maybe iterate through the devices, or even better, through
the for the saving device, because you save the set of parameters of settings for launching JAC are set on these tabs, or
yes,
on
I
setting
know.
Tabs. And you can name this set of values as a name that you
get
the parameters. And then you are asking me to iterate over the presets that the example.
Maybe
get a perfect match over which devices are connected.
That would be great to have. Yes. You just plug it in and it selects a preset which it knows will work. So. Just an idea. I mean, I can switch the presets. That's not a big deal. So,
but one question: are you talking about that you change the audio device?
Yeah, I unplug.
You're not talking about different machines.
And plug it in the device I have there. And so the devices are changing all
if
the
you have
time.
Different machines, do you have a complete different set of presets?
Yeah, no, it's the same machine, but different USB audio interfaces.
Can I
Go
for a second?
Yep.
We noticed that you're sitting in a tight corner with the air spectrum and radio is noisy for the microphone. Can you move into the center or stand
up? Okay. I have to move everything else, make a right shift over there. maybe it's the Bluetooth
it's
of the scene.
Even connected, so it's turned off.
It is better? Okay. So, anything more? Do you know how to play with the patch bay? The patch bay is something similar to the connections interface or the connections dialogue, but this is declarative. You put there what you want connected anytime, any place. It's not you do the connections on demand at that time, and the clients appear and disappear. But here you say, every time one client appears on the graph or he appears on the system, connect this to that. Yeah? Okay. Do you understand what it means? Most probably, you. I'm almost sure that half of you know how to use the patch QJAC CPCTL PCB. Yes, 15 years old. It's an old interface. It's an old school one, but it still happens as a not as a session manager, but as a connection manager. Yeah. Okay. Let's move along. Now for the news of this latest version. From the connections interface, you have to click one side and on the other side, and then hit connect to do the things, and it's connected. Now, the news from the latest version, you can do this with multiple. And then they will connect in order, the visual order, the one to one. So that's one facility that probably some had requested in the past. Some of you had requested in the past, and probably is useful in the new. But the big news are even on the context menu. What you see that is new here. You know, don't try it. Did you see anything different? Have you ever seen this menu?
No.
Oh, so sorry for the question. Okay. But this is the menu that if you right click on the main window, is the menu, or is the context menu if you have the system tray icon. But I know most people use GNOME, and GNOME ditches altogether the system trays. Give me so system tray. Don't use the system tray on GNOME or other developments. So what is new is this one. What is that? What do you think? What do you think is that? Okay, it's patches on KJ-XETL. But it's not patches. It's all the homebrew Qt code. It's not using the Flow Canvas or the GLAD. I think it's GLAD. GLAD library from Dave Robillard. And you do the connections management here on demand, connection management as you want. So let's start with some other clients like Hardler. It's not QSAP, you know. Hardler is not QSAP, but we will start here again. I don't use it that much, but only for debugging this client thing. So, but if you look at the graph now, Hardler appears here. Everything. It will remember the position, the visual position that you say on the canvas. You can zoom in with the touchpad. With touchpad is with control. There are several ways of doing the same thing, but we have always some modifiers that control and shift and clicking and dragging are the usual ways since the Windows 3 or OS 2 display manager used to be. So you call it common user access interface, but yeah, it's the same. So just zooming, you can zoom whatever you want or using just the zoom fit, but fitting on the understand. If the things are not centered, you get the, let's see, there's just two. Many mutants, okay, there's many mutants. Most similar is the most simple if you are familiar with Patchage or Carla, or that we're using the same interface, the same software as Patchage. And what advantages are there, are here, that Carla and Patchage doesn't have? It has undo and redo. You connect something, you made a mistake, you can undo what you there. Or you can redo in sequence and whatever you want. And you can connect multiple ports. So I want to, this is the first, the color code of this. The green ones is Jack Audio. The purple ones is Alta MIDI. And the red ones are Jack MIDI. So, The clients are separated by ALSA MIDI clients or Jack clients. Jack clients includes Jack MIDI and Audio MIDI, so it gets in the same box. The other thing that when are physical and terminal nodes or endpoints, like your sound card or your inputs of your MIDI keyboard or whatever, they appeared splitted. This only happens just to get your inputs or MIDI or inputs of your sound card. Yeah, and the output is split on the other side. But it's only on the other side because I put it there and it remembered last time over there. So they remember the positions of everything. How do you connect something visually or using the mouse, or you can use the keyboard? Let's connect this port with that. I select the port, and then I have to select the other port using the control shift. If I don't use the control or shift keyboard modifiers, it just selects one by one and deselects the other. So I click here, and I click here with control. Or shift, really, it's the same. And then I can, using the keyboard, I can use the insert key, you will connect. It's the insert key of the keyboard. I was only using the keyboard. Yeah, was a mistake, I can do undo. If I go with the mouse, I can just drag just like Patch as does. So, okay.
How many undo levels? Infinite?
It depends on your memory. your RAM. it's unlimited. So conceptually unlimited. So most of the things, this is what is new. And questions. More questions, because I didn't talk about any more things that probably there is there. And maybe you can remind me. What do you really wish on this kind of interfaces? Yeah. Oh,
One thing, I really love this for getting, it's much easier to get complex patches done that way, but I'd like to have that, please, for the patch bay.
The patch bay, is, as I say, is declarative. It's another model. Yeah.
That would be...
It can be mapped on that way. There's no problem, but...
Yeah, because...
It means more work.
I do most of the stuff actually in the patch bay these days so that I have everything hooked up. And I used to do that in more with the connect window, but it would be nice to have something similar working in the patch bay mm-hmm. as well.
So may I leave? Okay, now you.
Thanks, Albert, for saying what I wanted to say. At a similar wish at that point. And another thing, what I quite missed on patch edge is if I want to do multiple connections, let's say if four outputs and inputs that are similar, which is shown before with this multiple.
Yes, it's similar. If you.
Yeah.
Yes.
To finish. What I had seen in a different system, on this creamware system, I don't know who knows, they use the end key to just make another connections from to select the next one and just insert it. So it just make one connection and press three times on end, then I have four connections. That's quite handy. So that just
But this way you have to select visually. For example, when you use the rubber band. Which is not working because this is on the zoom mode. The rubber band is not. Yeah, thank you. Just some feet. And when I can select the connection that I want, I can make it with the shift key, and as with another one. Now I want to add all these things also, in the usual way, with shift and control keys. Or modify keys and add the connections or other that I want to disconnect or connect. For connection, you have to choose several ports, but you can make the. There are three ports in this, and I want to connect this to the other three ports. So you hit this, and then they will get connected in the now it's the visual in position order that they get connected one by one. It's different than the other. This is the position where you get vertically, the ports are listed vertically, they can change also. If they are on different clients, you can do that, but you can only connect the ports of the same type, but that's no new news for you. Okay, that it is what you asked? Or it responds to what you asked? This kind of thing?
Not exactly.
So
it was just a method to add another connection by using the keyboard, just by pressing a key, which had been the next if I had selected multiple ports. I don't know, it's just... Maybe difficult
maybe
to explain.
I don't understand how that's...
So how it works, basically, if I have an input with four channels, and I have a mixer with 20 channels, and I connect input 1 to channel 15 of the mixer, and then I press a key, and then I have an additional connection from input 2 to 17 and the next.
Oh, you are, you get the.
Same.
One connection and then.
So it's much less interaction with the mouse. It's just pressing a single key and it's.
But that's the difference. The here you have to select first the ports. And then the in select on your side, on one side, and the other side, you have to select all the parts one by one. And then you insert just one key, is the insert key or the connect button on the top or on the menu, and they connect one by one. What you are asking is select one part, and then you connect. And then there is another mode of connection that it's just one button, and it gets on the ports that are below and connect there. And then you hit again that button and the third one that are below connect one by one. Yeah.
Maybe just using pressing insert multiple times.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah. Yeah, understood.
So
yeah.
Can you rubber band the ports as well?
Yes. The problem with the rubber bands with ports that you can select all the whole client.
Okay.
So I can change that. We are still early on. The client is selected, but you can then now you can deselect some ports of the client. But first, rubber band when he hits the client rectangle, it selects all the ports of the client, you know. So there is only a port. Or you select just the port by port, using shift you add, using control you toggle. This is the usual way of selecting, adding and removing from selection. This is the input ports, this is our output ports. And you have to, if I hit here the connect, you will get a loop over the same. Yeah. So. But that's what I didn't want to do that, so I disconnect. We didn't do. So. Is it nice? Is it what you will expect in this kind of interface? Somehow in the future, This will replace the other one.
Yes, I can.
Some way in the way, maybe in the next 15 years.
Okay.
Maybe with the microphone.
Maybe it's a stupid question, but could you somehow indicate which is an output, which is an input?
It's only for the inputs are on the left. The outputs are on the right.
Okay.
In each rectangle are the clients. Mm. If the ports are on the left side, okay, they are input ports.
Okay.
If the ports are on the right side, they are the other type of output. Or in this case, it's the output ports.
Okay.
So there is no way to switch it over. If you have another reading system or reading in like Hebrew or
otherwise, Iceland, I would have suggested just to put a small triangle that. But it would always point to the.
Yeah,
right.
It's only input to output is left to right always.
Okay.
It's a paradigm that I cannot probably I cannot escape. I could put the option, but I don't know if that will confuse a lot of users. Mm. Yeah? So everything is upside down. Now, I don't know why. So because someone tried on some option and... From PD is up to top to bottom. But here in patch Asia, also is the same. It's also input output is left to right, so it's always happens in that way. Yeah, who comes with PD probably is not a big paradigm shift because it's always top to bottom.
It's because you have those labels and they are very important here.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to put them. I mean, we otherwise we
So I don't know if you want me to make more examples. This is, I think this is clear and it's intuitive enough. What do you think that, about it? Are you happy as me with it? Unless there are the other options.
You have to try it out.
Yeah, do it. Because you have to do it. Because this is on the 052 version. And the previous version was 1 week earlier, when 051, when it was incepted, this feature, it crashed all the time.
Right.
You just run harder. And when you quit harder, poof, QjackCTL goes away. but everybody was complaining, oh, the QjackCTL now is crashing. What about the reliability of Ruiz software? It changes. Oh, but in a week, I have made the fixes. It was a very internal bug. It was nailed on the Qt library. Is not something that I wrote, because, no matter. I had a workaround. The workaround is doing, and now it's stable.
So
it's rock solid stable.
Right. Well, it works. But if you want to test it, how much work do you think would it be to have something similar in the patch bay?
Probably the same work that it left. I made this in 2 months. You know, no. First, let me present my life. because for the new faces, of course, because the old faces that they are here know this by heart, and since they know me for 15 years old ago. I am a database administration, IT specialist. This is my day job. I don't do Linux audio professionally. I don't do this coding professionally. I began as a geek, computer systems geek, at university. It was back in the 80s. So, and I started professionally as a developer programmer in COBOL. So at the time, it was in banks, I started programming in COBOL. Paralleling, I was learning C. I was learning C++ and applying on interface with the financial systems and the new Unix environments of the time with C++ and libraries and whatever. I dealt much with the financially trading systems in banking and financial markets using C++. And this is very top secret and very confidential at the time. It was a high frequency trading. So, I can confident by you by this time, maybe you can blame me about the 2008 crisis, because much of that was caused on the. There was a small blackout, or the markets blackout in 1987 or 1989. It was the Black October Friday or something. October Monday or Black Monday or Black what? But it was only affected the derivatives markets. And I also do in the stock market and derivatives or whatever. But C++ is. I learned C++. Almost from the day one, from the book from Bjarne Stroustrup, and I'm very seasoned in C++, along with COBOL, but COBOL are like that. But with the banks merging and splitting and whatever, back in Portugal, where I live, first, I'm Portuguese, I live in Portugal, Lisbon, I made a choice. Now I'll go to IT specialist. I will be a database administrator as a system admin, and I will leave the professional application programming or as a development, as an in-house development, and I will leave that for as a freelancer. And I started as a freelancer during the dot-com bubble, as you say, during the 2000s. I was a PHP programmer. Don't mind. But it was the time that I spit it out the most lines of code of all over my life. Then I was also as a musician in a band, and I was walking with I was playing with guitar. I was in a rock band, and then it was all the electronic music. I was also an addict. I bought my first synthesizer at 1986, I think. It was the one of 1986. Sorry, sorry, I'm not too that old. Yeah, it was MIDI, and everything. I was interested in new music and in music technology since the MIDI early times. So it's nothing new to me, but on the late 90s, I think I have all this baggage as a programming, as a developer, as a C++, and GUI interfaces, and core backends. And now it's called backends, because at the time it was not called that way. But why not? I don't do something for the music or for the music I want. Because I was used to be my background is academic background. I'm electrotechnical engineering with computer systems specialization, and I had the know-how. I had all the baggage, and why I don't do something for music for doing instead of using this. Solder iron, I do it in software because I can. Yeah, so I started there, and then at the time it was using Windows. Of course, everybody who used Windows, Linux was not a thing at the time, and even in the late 90s, because for audio it was terribly lousy. But I came across the ALSA project. And the Jack initiative from Poland, from the early times of the Linux Audio Developers Meeting, which is the name that was called the LAC before. It was in 2003, 2004, when I started with QGXCTL, because QGXCTL is my first piece that I contributed to the Linux Audio, because that's why I started with. In the beginning, there was Jack. And Jack made it all. Okay, that doesn't matter. And I didn't stop since then. But let's talk frankly. This is a hobby for me. I do only at time after dinner, after I had my quality time with my family, and then I have to spend probably 2 hours, 3 hours per day doing this code.
So I got the message that if I want this, I have to implement it myself.
But take 2 months later, more or less, okay?
But I have maybe a technical question. We could probably do without that, because you can do connections and have your patch bay updated as well. Is that right?
Because
it often asks me if I change something manually,
if you have a rule on the patch bay which says that connect whenever you see this client on the air, connect this part. But you go to this manager and you disconnect that precise part. You don't know that connected anymore. If nothing happens, the patch bay will connect them again. So that's why the patch bay asks you, or the QGXCTL asks you, there's a rule on patch bay to reconnect this. Are you sure to want to connect? And you have the option, don't ask me again. So disconnect, and that's over. I know, I'm sure I want to disconnect that.
And what happens if I'm connecting in the connection screen some new pair which isn't in the patch bay already. Will it remember that? Because I have sometimes have the impression.
No,
but
cannot.
That would be maybe we just need a button, not new from all the connections, but add
The only way that you have that is starting a new patch by definition or the patch by for a file, and it asks for, do you want a snapshot or the wall connections that you have, or not, or you start blank, or you start with a model
a feature request which is probably easier to fulfill. To have it just add the new connections that it finds, but keep the existing patch bay and just keep adding to it.
I know, but we are adding for a.
The problem for me is I have a giant patch bay with all kinds of devices which might or might not exist. And if I always start from new, then I have to redo many connections. I keep one really big patch bay which has all the potential stuff that I may need with the usual connections that those have. And it would be nice if I can do the connections like this. It's much easier because there are maybe a dozen devices in there.
And then I could do
it in the connection screen and just say update my patch bay accordingly, whatever that means.
Yeah.
I mean, that requires some intelligence, though.
Okay, let me dodge a little that request or the answer. Yeah, I always do that, of course. But you know that the patch bay is too old. Is from the time that there was no session management and no ideas. There was something that was developing at the time was Laka or Lash, and then Lash didn't fly. Then we started to happen the Ladish. I think Netco Arnoldov started something that was Ladi or Ladish or whatever. But it was out of project. It was very side work from Netco Arnoldov. And it didn't fly until probably some people still use it. But doesn't because they are software from Philippe, from FactX that I think is Claudia, let's call it Claudia or something, that still uses the Ladish as a session management. And then there was Jack session management, which is integrated on QGXCTL, but people don't understand. It's not very well documented, or if documented at all. And it was a failure or a flop, as you can say. Then it appeared a very good, in my opinion, it's the best one that we have, is the known session management and from the guy that made the known tools. I think it's the best approach and the best solution for as session management in Linux or Linux Audio for Jack, and special for Jack and for ALSA. Although they are missing some tools, some pieces for ALSA. But I can do that.
can keep the connections.
Yeah, of course, but not only keep the connection, but also start the clients that are... You save the whole layout, in clients and the connections that are between the clients, and also the state of the clients. So, for example, if you have a client like Ardor with a project song doing, and the Ardor is connected to something else, something else will get started. The connection will be made on Qtractor, and the session of internal session of our project of Qtractor will get restored or recalled when you start the session. That's the purpose for a session management. It's starting the clients, the programs that you use, and the connections that interlinks.
You're talking about the GNOME session manager.
But I'm talking about known. None, no gnome. None, sorry. If you mean me, N-O-N.
GNOME, they remove features all the time.
Oh, yeah. They remove and edit. They always dumb down the software. So. Okay.
So you would recommend non-session management?
I do recommend non-session management. It has a very low footprint for developers to integrate on their software. It's not is not very difficult to do. It's just probably 200 lines of code that they add to the software. Any kind of any size of software, it just means to that kind, that 200 C, if you call C or C++, but they are the same. You will the same language or the same lines of code, and it works. The problem until now, it was only the interface or the visual manager, the software manager, as non-session manager, is a little ugly. But the alternative that are already existing, Ray Session, it's also ugly, but in another way. So you have to choose.
Yeah, but that doesn't really solve my use case, because I need the patch bay for stuff that I may or may not have available right now. So I really rely on the patch bay a lot, and a session manager wouldn't help with that.
Yeah, but as I said, the patch bay only solves the connections. Connections problems. It doesn't solve the state of the clients that you want to be up in any one time according to your project that what are you doing now. You want to save it all and to recall there or in this machine or even in the other machine that you move it or migrate it or whatever.
Yeah. So don't remove the patch bay.
No, I'm not talking about the patch bay. We are talking about making the patch bay with this kind of graph interface. This is different.
So what happens if there are two instances of the same device with the automatic connection?
What device is that we're talking about?
If I understand correctly, what you see here can be software devices, but can also hardware devices. So you have.
Yes, but they are. This is about jack clients.
Right. Yeah.
And the jack devices, which represent the physical devices. This is your sound card.
Yeah.
That you have. Mm-hmm. They appear as special clients, like this one. This is called about system.
Mm-hmm. And now imagine you have two sound cards, two identical sound cards, which are also appear as two jack clients with the same, it's the same hardware behind, so it's the same device.
You have to do that with the ALSA in or ALSA out clients, because jack only talks with one device at a time. But you can add another device. Through ALSA in or ALSA out or Zeta or the Zeta tools, which is better than ALSA in ALSA out, one device is one clock, one world clock, as you say, for sample rates in a sample rate basis. If you add a new other device, but with this interface, yes, it slaves to the sample rate. So any drift between the device, the physical sample rates, has to be converted and synced. But that's the job of this device, ALSA in, ALSA underscore in, or ALSA underscore out. They are the better implementations. Is the Zeta A to J and Zeta underscore J to A, which serves the same thing. You are way better. It's phone's software, so you can trust that.
But the question with the MIDI, if it's MIDI devices, they could be named the same, but they are numbered differently.
Numbered on the ALSA MIDI are numbered, and it appears also under the jack MIDI bridges for ALSA. They appear also with the numbers. That's why the numbers are prefixed on ALSA client. Yeah, you know. Yeah, you see.
Okay. So they can always be distinguished, not easily, but it's possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any more things about PGXTL? So is it still harmful to use PGXTL?
Well,
is it a pain?
I use it every day.
Yeah.
I would be crying.
Yeah, but there is the other side, of course, because of the great wars, of the great schism on Jack or Linux Audio between Jack 1 and Jack 2, and special Jack 2 with Dbuzz, the interface or support. When you mix Jack 2 is technically superior than Jack 1, but there are features that are present in Jack 2 that are not in Jack 1, and vice versa. So I can talk about what is in Jack 2 that I like and what is in Jack 1 that I like even better. Jack 1 has metadata. You can rename the ports and the clients, whatever you want, for being more human readable. Yeah, or it's called pretty names metadata. Or you can give icons also to the ports and to the clients. On Jack 2, this is not implemented. Okay. Well, on the other hand, Jack 2 has Dbuzz and Dbuzz from itself can deal and can talk with Pulse Audio automatically, and you have many issues if you have Jack and Pulse Audio coexistence, and they have also you don't need the bridges, alternate bridges that they will have. They only give you problems, but at least you get less issues when starting Jack and starting Pulse Audio or the other way around. So they can coexist. You listen your pro audio stuff, and you can listen to your social media stuff on YouTube or Facebook or whatever. No problem about that.
This is Jack 2.
Jack 2 with Dbuzz, which if you use Dbuzz and you have lesser problems with this. Of course, you can use Jack 1 and Pulse Audio and have all that again, but you have to do some geeky things and scripts to start Pulse Audio, suspend, start the modules, link, then sync. You know, okay, it's more complicated, but you only do that once. If you do it well, it stays good forever. That's what I do, because I don't use the Dbuzz interface. Alto KGXTL has support for the Dbuzz interface. But I have these tricks. these tricks there. I have
the
of course. Let's see where they are. It's very simple, kind of simple. Yeah, but it's a dumbed down script from the guy from the Guitarix, which made it the first one.
This is
Illicusum. So the pre-start is. What's that? I don't even know. No, this is just for saving the Alsa mixer control. So I just included there for it. But I just suspend Pulse Audio for 3 seconds. For starts, then Jack starts. I kill Pulse Audio. I wait a little. I load the modules for Jack. Then I set up the default ports for Pulse Audio and into Jack. And that's the way these things happen here. So old browser audio that you see in Firefox or in Chromium or whatever other browser, and out of Jack appears on these devices. You probably know about that, because it's not new. And then when stopping, I do the reverse. So you get Pulse Audio back again, working again. When I stop the Jack here. I can share you this one is only for saving, because Pulse Audio when starts or when gets killed, messes with the other mixer controls and puts something else over there, and then I never get other mixer working as I know, because I'm starting pulsadium and stopping pulsadium, and he messes also that. So that I'm only there. That's why I use this.
It would be great if you could put them up somewhere on your side.
This is terribly simple. But you get that thing on the internet, on Jack Audio site, or
is that in Jack FAQ? But only small bits, and there's a finished solution there.
Yeah.
Would be nice.
On the Linux Musicians Forum is where the guy from yes, that's the nickname for him. He puts the original one, but the original one is has much more controls than this. He checks if pulsadio is working and how much is that, and it saves the state from the pulsadio things, and then it restarts. It's much more. I took the straightforward and just kill it and started again.
Why not just have it in a QJack control FAQ?
FAQ
on your website, because that's where I would look for it. As little tricks with QJack control.
Yeah. Like that, right? Nothing special. So back again to the problem with the bus,
right,
or the pseudo problem with the bus. I indulged to make QJack CTL talk with the Jack debus, and that it works, but it works sometimes. There is, if you check this checkbox, it doesn't start Jack D, which is the Jack server, anymore, and it will talk to the debus system and ask, "Is there a Jack debus?" Start Jack debus. Now you start to control. That's the other preferred way, and I think Jack 2 is the only implementation of Jack that has is the Jack control API. So you can start and stop and set up the Jack server on the command line. And all the settings that are available on your specific system is not generic. QJack CTL puts something options that probably your system never will have, but just hard coded options. But with Jack Control it could be there. But Jack Control API only exists on Jack 2 if you use debus. So it's a two-sided problem. Okay. Enough about QJack CTL. Can we move on to other stuff? Because I always say that QJack CTL is junk software, but not anymore, because I have put their graph thing now. So let's move along, okay? If you don't have more questions about this, it's not rock science. Yeah, it's a simple tool, very old tool, to control Jack. And then let's see what slideshow. Where we are? We are in the second slide. I have almost 50, you know. If you can stay long enough, I can show you them all. But
you have 30 minutes.
Yeah, but no. Next one, QSynth. It's a front end for the libFluidSynth engine. It started as an idea as a generic front end for synths, soft synths in Linux. As was requested or asked for by Chris Canham and Richard Bond from the Rose Garden, the early Rose Garden developers. But I made a mistake and put it there, embedded. I embedded libFluidSynth through you. I'm using FluidSynth API directly and not making a generic as it used to be. Yeah. We use QSynth. QSynth is a soft synth, a standalone soft synth, sound font player. I think everybody knows about it, so nothing new. Nothing has changed since more than 10 years ago. So.
Well, FluidSynth has changed.
Yeah, FluidSynth is now changing the API for the two sounds, but that's internal API semantics that they are cleaning up. It's not really adding new big features to that. QSynth.
So there's one thing about QSynth. I really like using that a lot and also present it to the students because it's also cross-platform. It happens to be.
Yes,
because of your efforts, because we know you only do Linux and that's perfectly okay. But we really need a build for Mac and for Windows with a newer version of QSynth, and also with the newer version
of FluidSynth. There used to be for Mac OS and for Windows.
Yeah,
even there was binaries released, but very long time ago.
The guys
that maintained that disappeared from the radar. So
maybe someone could go through the ordeal.
I don't know if they can build that anymore. But at least there's a for QSynth. There's a CMake build list or CMake lists. So you can try there building yourself in Windows. I don't know how to do it that on Mac OS because I don't approach beaten fruit stuff.
So
not even with a long stick.
That was just a call. Maybe some kind soul who listens to this.
Yeah.
Takes care of that. I know my way around Windows as well and Mac, but I just can't do everything. But if there's somebody out there, that would be nice to have an updated version also for the other platforms.
Another note, you see that now I am an example, but what I'm trying to do. You have here in the home page is in SourceForge. But the Git repositories also in SourceForge, but also in GitHub, GitLab, Bitbucket, you have mirrors on. Is that this is not a new thing since last Monday? Right. It always used to be like that. So don't consider that I am fleeing or migrating from Guy GitHub or away. So I just don't care. For me, it's a Git repository. If you raise an issue or a ticket here or there, I will respond to that. I have no problem about that, because they are important communities over here, and not everybody migrated from SourceForge before. Yeah, so it's again only the same thing here. So, but I don't care about that things. I'm not that purist. So even though Git is just a remark. The CEO for GitHub now is Ned Friedman. Ned Friedman is a very open source advocate since the GNOME days and Zimian and Xamarin. So he's not a bad guy after all. So. But he works for Microsoft. Yeah, but Miguel de Casa wanted to work for Microsoft, but was kicked away. So he never, his dream never come true. Okay, QSampler, Linux sampler, problem with the license, as everybody knows. You have to build the Linux sampler if you want for your own use, unless the trouble, all the trouble, if you want to use Linux for commercial purposes, you have to ask the authors. The authors are Missing in Action, the first one, the original one. It was Benno Sonnener, whatever. And we just cannot approach him, so the license, that mess with the license, or which made the GPL, because it is GPL with an exception, but GPL doesn't accept the exception, so it's no license at all. So they have no license. in legal terms, Linux Samba has no license. So, no matter if they say GPL and you have to contact the authors. Okay, we use QSampler. QSampler is a very, very top-notch sampler engine. It supports SF2, sounds fluent as fluid synth before, SFZ, which is the open way of you describing instruments through layers and regions. It was coined and created by a cakewalk engineer, then Roland, then Yamaha. Okay. But it was something that came, they just opened to the public domain the specification. And GIG for GIG sample from Tascam, which I still think is the most technical superior of all sampler specifications, and can do real thing. And the Linux sample project has the GIG edits, which you can edit and create GIG in the GIG format, the way you want, the whatever, you create new sound fonts. And I call it sound fonts, but it's GIG format sample specifications. Okay, technical superiority, okay. It's top-notch code, almost created and developed by one guy also, is Christian Schoenbeck, which is also made the Jack OX, iOS. For iOS, which Apple shut down, they didn't like the idea because they have all the ideas. So, Linux Sampler is something that you ought to try, and to make you get there splendid instruments if you choose very well dimensions, the articulations, and the samples that you have. You layer in that anyway, and okay. But you have to create your own because the is not supported anymore. It never was, at least for all Linux or for open source. But Tascam doesn't develop on the subject anymore. So, developer or release, it just trashed it away. The format, I don't know why. It's commercial decisions, but of their own. Then from 2005, which was the first year that I attended LAC. Was luck 2005 in ZKM Karlsruhe. I started making Cretractor, which probably most of you know about or at least heard. It's my biggest project and my biggest effort in development as an hobby. I still stress it is an hobby, but it looks professional, doesn't it? Yeah. And it started because of what? There was no very good audio and MIDI sequences at the time, at this time. I'm talking about this time frame. There was Muse at the time. Why didn't I choose to help and collaborate with Muse? Because at that time, Muse was all written in German. Variable names, comments, everything. How can I help this? Because I don't understand one word of German. Sorry for the Berliners in here, but that's the way it is. So I cannot help these guys. I cannot review the code of music because I don't, even the variable names are in German at the time. Probably it got a lot better later. The other one was Rose Garden. Rose Garden was only MIDI. Yeah. And the Ardor was only audio. It was still in the .99 version. It didn't reach the one.
Do you remember Jazz++? And Rose.
Ah, Jazz++. Ah, yeah. But it was only MIDI anyway.
I think that must have been around 2000 or even earlier.
So In 2007, I presented for first year in Berlin in TU, the great year of the techno boy bedroom. Yeah, but it was already fully functional in audio and MIDI, you know. And but he was had a shortcoming because he only played four on the floor. The only grid that you had in MIDI was 4x4. So, yeah. And only one tempo. You cannot make slurrens there. Then, years later, implemented DCSI plugins, which is the instrument that you all know. Native VST was, I think, it was the first project to incorporate the Linux compiled VSTs. Most of the other software uses the Wine to bridge over VSTs, but the DLL ones from Windows. So if you have access to the source code of a VST plugin, you can could compile it and you could insert as an instrument or even an audio FX in Qtractor. With GUI, you are working, and if it would be 1 year later. LV2, and what happens in 2011? I'm asking you to the new faces, because the old faces know what this is. Don't make up. Okay. The year of Qtractor automation. It only been it. But by this time, Qtractor is finished. No big new features appeared since then. Only just then. By the time, I always feel bored when I have nothing to do, even on that 2 only hours at my night. But I started my KXG editor because I have several. I used to have several DB50 XG cards, which is a daughter board for Sound Blasters. If you remember in the 90s, mid 90s, there was a very very good with cheaper in relative terms, but it is a full and polyphonic and workstation synthesizer in a card of this size. Yeah, you just plug it there and you have just the same as a full blown synthesizer from Yamaha that you get. And he played XG is a MIDI specification, a MIDI, how do you say, it's a specification of MIDI for extending the general MIDI and make more parameters and extremes, but at least with the right semantics, and extended it very well, and almost you can put with the same engine, put an orchestra playing polyphonic, multiple voices, and put one song and mix in a MIDI file. Yeah, probably. KMIDI CTL. What is KMIDI CTL? It's a controller over UDP multicast that you can play it over the network. The local area network, and there was in January, I ported it to Android, so you can use it with your phones. It's in the Google Play Store, so you can take that. What's that? You send raw MIDI over the network, over the air, or over the cable. It depends, doesn't matter, it's over the network. But it only works on your local area network. Like if you've been in the Link, Ableton Link, session, it's the same networking infrastructure that we are doing. So, but this is raw MIDI. It's not on the regular cable MIDIs. It's not over USBs. It's over the air. You can control anything. Can play anything from the other room, from the other band. Can jam. Can just put MIDI around. with the gateway, you need this on your on each node or each machine, or Linux machine at least. It's just a small piece of air that just receives and sends the community net. You want to try? At least, do you have an Android phone? Have you installed? No, I installed it in me, because if you send that, it will affect mine. So this is plug and play. So.
But I don't know whether the ports are open.
No, if you install that, it sends from the same port. The in default one is the one that is recommended.
Some
okay.
Ports which aren't always open. So I have it up here.
Yes.
So
wait a little minute.
You can try.
No, you managed it. Okay, I will put KimidiNet over here. It only appears as.
Oh,
yeah, you see, you're already touching that, and the green the green thing is already touching.
Oh,
it's receiving. You
I
said.
Am.
Oh, oh, you are. So, but so you are competing. Let's jam.
No,
okay, but. How much you want to jam? I don't know.
Which network are you? Is that the...
I have to...
Just
public? Oh, yeah, you have to be on Wi-Fi. On the same Wi-Fi that...
I am.
It just connects one device.
Well. I will use QChatter, because it's the most familiar for me, of course. I have to connect the ports. So I have only ALSA. I will connect to control QChatter. So just eat something. The play or the someone just made it.
I was doing this.
Oh yeah, yeah. Play.
I'm not
you
sure
play.
Really, is anyone else?
I'm playing the play.
Now. Yeah.
If you stop.
So you can make a war now.
I push play. My stuff doesn't register. So.
If you make the jog wheel, you just move the player.
No, it's him always. I'm not getting connected.
Maybe.
Let's add a track or something.
But isn't it supposed to broadcast?
No, it's multicast.
Multicast stuff.
It's multicast, okay.
Is it multicast, but to the entire LAN here?
Yes. But you only get one receiver at this time. It is this one. If you open KimidiNet on another computer, you get the same message. Anyone has a KimidiNet installed on or running there, you get the same message.
So
you get the same MIDI. The MIDI stream.
It will only listen to one connection?
No.
KimidiNet?
No.
No, but it doesn't. I mean, I'm on.
This only has one channel, okay?
Yeah,
it sends one channel. You know, and one channel is received. By KimidiNet?
It doesn't even receive my stuff, so.
What stuff?
Well, if I pull the jog wheel.
It's moving on. Exactly, it's moving the player.
Okay. But why doesn't KimidiNet go green on input? It should show the messages incoming? No?
So that's
I'm
a good point.
I'm going back. It doesn't show. Maybe it's a display problem.
Yeah, but it's just the system tray icon that doesn't show the greens.
But
don't worry about
but
that,
it
because the message is...
Can you try again? So it apparently the animation only works with one incoming. There could be something in there, gremlins.
Very good finding. Yes.
It looks like that because it actually reacts to my.
So, yeah, but the same stream that he is sending and you are appear on this part, in the same part. On the, and if you someone else has Kimedia net and it starts with the ALSA interface, it gets the same message that appears on that part.
It's raw MIDI, right?
Huh?
It's raw MIDI.
Raw MIDI, yes. Byte for byte.
So essentially, I could open SuperCollider of your data.
Yes. If you connect to this port, then it will be multicasted to the other.
It's not really raw MIDI, it's ALSA MIDI.
No. The ALSA MIDI is the interface for Kimedia net. But what goes over the air is raw MIDI.
So it's
MIDI over IP.
The signals in a small PD patch or whatever.
Yes, yes. By MIDI channel.
So by sending some exclusive message, you could also...
You can also send... The play message or the stop message, all the transport message that you get, they are MEMC. They are CZ external messages.
Okay, see
external. Exclusive, sorry. Let's put only a monitor. And see what.
I also have TouchDAW installed here.
TouchDAW uses the same interface. You can use TouchDAW.
Yes, I know. If
you use the IP MIDI device,
right.
It will make the same appear also.
Right.
That
port one is just.
Where we are? And probably we should have clicked something that it should appear here. Oh yeah,
yeah,
you see, they are system exclusive message. The play, this probably is this. What was that? I don't know the numbers by heart, but yeah. But what was one of the buttons? The transport buttons.
Probably,
yeah, TouchDAW uses the same. He sends raw MIDI over the same channel, air channel or wired channel, and also VMPK, virtual MIDI piano. It also has an option to use this. But on the Android phone, I think only Kimedia CTL. Oh, VMPK. It's also on an Android option,
right.
Isn't it? Okay, so if you switch that option, it will happen again. So, what was some playground that are used from the times of the Nokia N900, and it works there as a native Linux, but the Android port. It's C++, it's not Java. It's a cute facility that you can put a cute application over an Android application and you can make an APK. So that's what I do. I only had to do the... Show me. The action bar. It's the top menu, the title menu, to make similar to the material design, yes. I'm talking about this title which has options with menu for configuration and whatever.
That used to look different.
The desktop, the native desktop is this bland interface. So the menu, but it should work anyway. So where we were back in my presentation. If you want to ask something about these little toys. You can ask. You are surprised. You are jaw draw or something. Drop or something. But it already is since 2008. 2011. Okay. 2011 was the, I believe, more or less, it was the Kimedia net got finished. Even Paul Davis, I think, put code from KmDNet over in Ardor because they are control surfaces or mixing desks that use this raw MIDI to getting around is integrated on the hardware. Again, it's also not rock science, but it's good to have. Yeah. Yeah, you have to know the address, you have to know the port, the number of ports. Okay, if you match the port number with yours and this, and the multicast address, it must be the same. You get that on the configurations. This home is this address. If this pair is the same, it must be the same for everybody. You get the same, this is the same multicast channel, I would say. If you put something else, the other end or the other hands have to put the same. So it's the only thing that has to be. But by default, this is the address from IP MIDI. It was the inspiration for these tools.
Something's not right with the graphics.
Yeah, I know, but that there was the newer Androids. I made this for Android 4.1. Yeah, I think Marshmallow or 6. If you're using 7 or 8,
it's not the latest, but
8 is Oreo, isn't it? Yeah, it appears something appears cut it out visually, but it works if you touch it. It works. Okay. You have been Googleized. Yeah. Moving on. Always start. Okay, we reached the last toys that I learned. It was the V1 suite, which is comprised by a synthesizer, a sampler, a drum kit sampler, which is a percussive rompler or whatever. And the latest, during my holidays, summer holidays, I put up also Pathy, it's a strange name. I myself cannot pronounce it. Pathy V1. Okay. It is a Pathy synth implementation from Paul Naska, which appeared on the first on the Zined SubFX as the third engine that they implemented, and it makes very nice sounds, and it's good for good sound designers because it's an additive synth against to subtractive synths, which is the old school way of two oscillators, one filter, one LFO, one DCA, but with a pair. So you get two science engines that you can cross modulate. Not yet. I'm telling you a lie. You cannot cross modulate between the two engines. But let's go ahead. Okay, since GUI has these aspects, who hadn't tried at least one of them?
I tried some.
Hmm? Yeah. You didn't? So, they are small tools. They make their job, the single job, because I'm not making a whole big software sampler and synths all integrated and you have multiple. No, it does just one as a plugin, as a standalone application, a Jack standalone application, and as a LV2 Pro plugin. The most problematic thing of lately is that they appear as a gray window on Ardor. Has anybody ever sensed that? I can show that problem.
QT version?
Hmm? No. It's the Suil in one of the libraries from David Lorbillard, the last one. He's a rapper for Qt under JTK our host, which doesn't work at all. It doesn't spit any errors, but it doesn't draw anything anyway. Visually, for the user, is a big error. I cannot use for something like that. I can show you how they appear, and it's not harder too. And what time I am living in? No, I think it's the one of the sessions as one. Because that's what I used to say. What is probably is there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it appears like this. Yeah?
But the generic GUI works.
Huh? Generic. Yeah, that's the only one you get. you cannot edit it. But how to work around about this? You have to edit the TTL from Path TTVU. I will show you how. And it magically will start again. Mm-hmm. But you have to only do it once, and every time you get a new version or a new package from the view ones, until Ardor makes an option for you to choose which UI you want for this plugin. Okay, let's see where, if I can find it. It's in Eden.
Quickly make a new MIDI track.
Hmm? No, it's not about making MIDI tracks. I have to go to where the.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. It's this file. Hey, I cleared it very fast. It just removed these lines. Uh-huh. Save, and it probably will work from this moment on. Yeah, what is it?
No.
Yeah, I have to restart the session because I have to reinstantiate the plugin. Sorry about that. I will do it again. Select here. Okay. No, nope. It's not working.
Nope.
What's going on? Maybe I have to restart Ardor altogether. Because it reads all the scans or all the plugins at startup, and then it puts in its LILV library. It's nothing much, but okay. Let's see. Let's look if that's. I'm just speculating. And plugins doing startup, it scans for the plugins. And I really don't know how to use Ardor. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
There it is. But you lose the embeddable UI from Ardor. So this is the external UI. But that's the interface of UI. But you want to edit things in design here. So this is as an additive, since you draw the partials over here, you can draw freehand. Yeah, it's funny to see what is the sound that coming up. Let's see what. I forgot to connect this audio. So you get a whole entire workshop without audio. So yeah, the best Linux audio. Where is the cable? Okay, but it's all about Ardor, but I don't really want to talk about Ardor. But it's the one of the Indras. Or the errors that most people get now when they install any of the V1s, they don't get a user interface. and probably they forget about it and they move on and choose the another scene. But the solution is hacky, is not simple, because people have to look in a installation file, you have to edit it and know how to do it.
Yeah, but that's the only workaround.
The problem solution, in my opinion, is to harder as to implement, to choose which user interface, because the V1s present you three choices. Use the wrappable, embeddable one, which is driven by the CUI library, the David Robillard library. Second one is the external UI, which is the NEDCO Arnav idea, but nobody accepts that. It was very extraordinary that it was implemented in Ardor, because nobody likes it. And the third one is the David Robillard option external UI is the other interface, the show and hide interface. Like, let the plugin show his window as it was native. You don't make tricks with the X11 and embed this widget in another toolkit, which never worked properly anyway. So I think it's over. I ran out of time much about way longer than. So if you want to. Okay, thank you.